It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Ray Adams here, and I'm joined by some great guests today. And, of course, my co-host, Dr. Bob Denny, from the PGA of America. He's their historian emeritus. Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional, is off today. He is busy, busy working as a PGA professional and was not able to find a moment. We understand that totally. So we have some great guests, though, coming up, and we'll be introducing those here in just a few moments. Those guests are going to enlighten you and encourage you and maybe even entertain a little bit. So great golf talk today on the Golf Lifestyle Show. Many things happening in the world of golf going on since we were on the air. We did take a little break last week from the Monday show, this show, and last Saturday's Great American Golf Show, because we were at the PGA Merchandise Show 2026. And Dr. Bob, you were there as well with me, and you put on a seminar for the African American Golf Expo. They were there. We're going to have Jim Beattie, their executive director, on in a few minutes. But let's just start there. And what was your overall thought about the PGA Merchandise Show this year?
Well, Ray, the PGA show really was upbeat. It had far more attendees than in the last couple of years. It looked well organized to me and set up on the floor. I thought the registration was much better than it has been in my previous years there. And it had a great representation on all different areas. I do believe that there's a lot of people that come to that on a Tuesday when they come in, not just for demo day, but also for the AGM product preview day. And that's down in the lobby on the west side. That was heavily, heavily attended on Tuesday night. So overall, it was a great experience.
Well, and the National Golf Course Owners Association, they have concurrent meetings there during the week. The PGA professionals, 31,000 PGA professionals around the country, Many thousands of those attended the show for all the obvious reasons, as buyers, as industry professionals, getting up to speed on some new products and innovations, things like that going on in the world of golf. They had their training seminars, continuing education. This is a golf industry show like no other. It is the largest in the world. There's nothing like the PGA Merchandise Show. And I have put up a video. It's there on my YouTube channel of me introducing the week at Demo Day. I will tell you that Demo Day this year had wonderful weather. We were able to film some videos that day. There were hundreds of exhibitors out to where you could try all the clubs and all the various golf accessories that were out there. My videos then began in earnest on Wednesday on the showroom floor, folks. And I shot many videos Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for a total of 31 videos featuring, covering the show as editorial media to let all of you all know all the different products and innovations and things going on at this PGA show, but also shooting 31 videos as well, a favor to the products that spend so much time and money to be able to be at the PGA show. It's an extremely arduous, it's almost a Herculean task to be there. And the money, the expense is just out of this world. It is very, very expensive to be an exhibitor at the PGA show. So for me to go around as a media member and with my media production company, shoot 31 videos, Bob, and then those videos are slowly going to be put up across my LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube channels this week. It is going to be really me paying homage to all of those different products that we chose to feature. Some are very fun and you'll love them. They're great tea prizes or gift ideas or very, very useful products to every golfer out there. My interview with Hal Sutton is a classic. We talked about his career, and then we talked about why he was at the show at the Makefield putter stand. And I could go on and on for the whole hour of the show talking about the PGA merchandise show. I'm not going to do that, but I will be, you will be hearing in the future some of these products coming on board as sponsors with me as they decide to do so. Several will do that. Probably many will do that. And they will be my new products from the PGA Show of the Year. Those products will be featured in a late February gift guide, or I say gift guide, it'll be products of the year from the PGA Show. And I'm going to feature them in a big email send out to all of you folks that are on my email list. So you want to join me by writing to me at golfadams@msn.com. Just write golfadams@msn.com. And just say hi, Ray. You'll automatically then be put over to into my big email list. All right. We'll talk more about the PGA show, maybe with Craig Renshaw, but and we'll mention some more maybe of the individual companies. But for now, that's enough. Just a lot of fun and a lot of hard work this year at one again, one of the best PGA shows that I can remember. All right, Bob, this segment is sponsored by Squares Golf Shoe, another one of my favorite PGA products. I met many years ago Bob Winskowitz at the PGA Merchandise Show and have been advertising and talking about Squares Golf Shoes for a long time. And I want to mention, if you're struggling to create more distance without swinging harder, you want to take a look at Squares Golf Shoes because they will help you to do that. They can help you at every level. No matter what your competitive level is, they will help you with rotation, hip mobility, spine movement, so that they can generate speed more efficiently and stay healthy. The shoes will help you. And also, Jacob Molnar, a world-long drive professional with a master's degree in exercise physiology, will help you with all of that at the Squares Academy. So you want to go to Squares, Squairz. com, and you want to find out a lot more about Squares golf shoes. Are you going to wear spikes with Squares, or are you going to go spikeless? It's the distance shoe, it's the performance shoe, it's Squares golf shoes. And I want to thank them so much for being a very long time sponsor. All right, Dr. Bob, in just a moment, we're going to be welcoming Jim Beatty. We're not quite ready, but go ahead. Tell me a little golf news. Let's start right there.
Well, the news of the day obviously starts with Scottie Scheffler achieving a piece of history that is a very elite club
Yes.
with his 20th victory yesterday in the American Express. 27 under par, a final round 66, added with a double bogey after putting a ball in the water in 17. Still had a four-stroke victory over four others, including Jason Day, Ryan Gerard, Matt McCarty, and Andrew Putnam. And so he was comfortably in position, even after a bad shot, bad swing, uncharacteristic. But as Scottie Scheffler at his best, he looked sharp as can be. First time he's ever won his debut of a season. He joins Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods as the only people to achieve 20 victories before age 30. He did it in the second fewest starts behind Tiger. So those are two little elements of history. And his interviews are continuing to be self-deprecating and all business. And then when the family shows up, that's the routine. And my feeling is if Scotty retains his health, I think his routine will be a part of his life and until he wants to stop, but he will be a force because he is an unbelievable ball striker.
Absolutely. And his management of the game and his maintenance of his within of his, he contains himself so well no matter what happens. You don't really get a rise out of him very much. And he enjoys his victory for a few minutes, he said last year. And then he asks his wife, what's for dinner tonight? So he moves on. The thrill of victory stays with him for a while. He enjoys it, but he believes according to his faith, he knows who he is. And according to his faith, he believes he is, he must practice and train according to what his faith demands him. So Scottie Scheffler, the absolute he's the hero of the PGA Tour, that's for sure. But he is also a very, very humble and quiet hero. He's not one to take the limelight, is he, Bob?
No, he's not. And that's one of the unique things you're going to see. And I think that's going to draw more people to him just to, for that much, once the viewership maybe tries to even itself out in this next year.
And under 30 years old, he already knows he's in the Hall of Fame. He already knows that he's a Ryder Cup captain. It's
He's
a it's foregone.
there. He's there. Yeah.
It's there. He has everything needed. Not many people have won 20 victories on the PGA Tour. I know you probably know the number. That could be a nugget later. We don't need to worry about that now unless you know it off the top of your head. I don't, but it doesn't matter. I know that Doug Sanders won 20 victories, and he was quite a player in his day. And so many others have won 20 victories on the PGA Tour. But he does it at a very young age, second only in the number of starts it took to Tiger and also to Tiger as far as the age. It's a great 20th victory for Scotty, and we're excited for him, and we're excited for 2026. I think this is going to be an unbelievable year of golf. And I don't necessarily mean PGA Tour golf. I just think it's going to be an unbelievable year for the game of golf all over. And I'm very much already looking forward to the US Open at Shinnecock for the men and for the ladies at Riviera. It's going to be a great US Open. And we have a very special guest right now. We'll look at some more of the tours and what's happening. We'll look at their schedules a little bit later in the show. But let's go ahead and have you introduce a very special guest that we have on standby right now.
It's my pleasure to introduce a gentleman who has become a good friend of mine in many ways because we share the same passion about the golf industry. It's Jim Beattie, based in Omaha, and he is a prominent golf industry leader. More importantly, an entrepreneur and founder of the African American Golf Expo and Forum. He's a president of Jim Beattie Golf Ventures, and Jim has worked very hard to try to bring more attention to diversity within the golf industry and accomplishments of so many that are really need to come forward and have great leadership skills. But I'm pleasured to invite him in now. And Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Bob. I appreciate it.
Well, Jim Beattie, I'm Ray Adams, and Dr. Bob is probably the greatest golf historian in America, and I'm so privileged and honored to always have Dr. Bob. Yes, there's other golf historians. Don't shake your head no. Stop being Scottie Scheffler humble over there, Dr. Bob. We can brag on him, can't we, Jim?
Absolutely.
You don't need to
Working.
brag on yourself. Let other people brag on you, right, Jim?
I have learned so much working with him about the history of the game, and
Yes.
he's a walking encyclopedia. What can you
He
say?
is. Well, and in the last 30 or so years, he's been to every darn event you could ever imagine. Who knows it better? All right, Jim, let's focus on you right now because I'm interested, and thank you for joining me on my show today. I don't know if you've been on before, but I want to say you have a number
I
of
think I
years.
have.
You have. And the reason why I remembered that you have been on the show, and it was before Dr. Bob's time with me, was because when I went in to send you your link today to be on the show with us, your email popped up automatically in my Outlook email. And so I knew that I had been in touch with you before, and I thought, you know, I think Jim's been with us. But hey,
I think so.
let's start over again and get back to, and we have a lot of time to talk today, so we're going to take
Great.
our time, and I want to get through a number of things because, Jim, I'm I'm very interested in your African American Golf Expo that you've just wrapped up in Orlando this past week, and I wanted to be there. Unfortunately, I didn't know what was happening. Now, how can that be? Me receiving hundreds of emails from every imaginable organization all over the place, and if your organization sent me one, I must have missed it. And I'm not saying anything about you. It's on me. I should have known about it and I should have been there. And I want to apologize to you that I was not able to be there, shoot some videos with you all, and find out more about what you're doing. So let's do that now. And we're going to make sure that we stay in touch with you throughout the year. And certainly next year at your expo, I'll be there. That's for sure. Now, give us a little background about you. Where do you come from, sir?
I'm a native Chicagoan, born
Okay.
and raised in the great city of Chicago under Mayor Daley, for those
Okay.
that would go back, the original Richard J. Daley.
Wow.
So,
Well,
but Ray, growing up, golf was not a part of my vernacular at all. It was football, it was basketball. Golf was just something I saw occasionally on TV. People like Julius Burrows and others, if you okay, so I'm dating myself now.
Oh, that's
But
okay. That's
as
okay. No
I have
problem.
matured in life and God has given me a pretty long life thus far, I'm asking for more. But golf has become a very important part of my life
Well,
because golf is life as far as I'm concerned.
and Chicagoland area is a very, very historic
Yes.
area in our country for golf. We could go on and on about Chicagoland golf. I'm from Detroit myself, born there, but raised here in the Phoenix area after my parents decided there was too much sleet and snow, like a lot of other people are deciding around the
Yes,
country right now. I
sir.
wonder how many U-Haul trucks are going to be rented, guys, in the next few weeks after this massive ice storm, and they'll be heading to bellwether places to move their families. How did you come about founding the African American Golf Expo? Take us up to that point, Jim.
Without going into a lot of details, essentially, when I became a part of a golf committee called Golf 2020, which was part of the World Golf Foundation, which was an initiative to get African American people of color and women more involved in golf, I was asked to be chair of a committee, and that was under Steve Mona. And as a part of that, it included, of course, meeting at the PGA show. At that
Yeah.
time, it was called the PGA Merchandise Show.
Yeah.
And we had a 1 hour, maybe it was 2 hour breakout session during that week-long activity. And it struck me, Ray, that, man, this is not enough time to talk about all of the issues and hopefully solutions that need to happen within the golf industry to get more people involved. And so I
Are you
ventured out.
talking about getting more African American and people of color
More
involved
people of color
as
and more
far as a
women.
diversity issue?
Yes, sir. Yes,
Okay,
sir.
go
And
ahead.
it's really, you know what, Ray? I'd say it's not diversity, it's economics. You
Okay,
know, when it
enlarge
comes
on it. Go
down to
ahead. Let's drill down there a little bit. What about the economics and how important was that at that time?
Oh, absolutely. At that time, I think the number was $84 billion golf industry, and I believe African Americans accounted for, and people of color, well, African Americans, I think I know the numbers, about 5% or so. But
Oh,
when you
wow.
consider, based on some of the research we've done, the average, the mean figure for African Americans is about $5,000 that is spent annually on golf. And that means trips, of course, golf fees, hotel lodging, that it's great for golf to get more and more people involved. And to the extent that they segment women, people of color, and do things that try to attract those audiences, it's just good economic sense for the game of golf. It's really not a feel-good issue. It's a money issue, it's an economic issue, and it has benefits for everyone involved.
You know, on my television show, Match Play with Ray Adams, and these radio shows, Great American Golf and this Golf Lifestyle show today we're on, I have focused for a number of years on the diversity of the game and that the and the inclusivity of the game. Do you feel that golf has come to a point, has golf come around for inclusivity and the diversity of the game? Is it where it should be, or do we still have a ways to go?
Well, I'd say we still have a ways to go, but there has been quite a bit accomplished. I don't want to understate that. The efforts that have been put out by all of the associations indicate to me that they really want to see this game grow and expand. Yes, there has been a lot done, and there's a lot more to do. That's why I feel the African American Golf Expo and Forum fits in very, very nicely with the goals and aspiration of the golf leadership.
All right, Dr. Bob, let's have you take over. I know you probably have a couple of questions, and I have a few more too for Jim, but go ahead, jump in.
Well, Jim, just for locations at the show, this was the sixth expo that you've conducted, and your event was located in on the western part of the Orange County Convention Center in the bottom level. It was. What can you tell us about the effort that's been made, and your efforts to, overall to try to be more a part of the show in the general area where it's more accessible to the mainstream?
That's a great question, Jim. Let me just put a little bit more into that question for you. I don't understand how in the world, and I love paddleball and pickleball and tennis and racquetball and all that, but I don't understand. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to use the word shocked. How in the world we have racket sports and all of that in a golf industry show with 11 or 1200 exhibitors and 30 some thousand people there. Why didn't we have the African American Golf Expo on the main showroom floor at the PGA Merchandise Show? Now you tell us. There's a second part of Bob's question.
Well, I'm glad for the easy questions, guys. Thank you for that on Monday morning. So let me say it's a matter of perspective, and my perspective is this. We started out with the expo going to different cities. We've been to Charlotte, Atlanta, West Palm Beach, Louisville. And in each one of those cities, of course, we had to build an audience to come to the show. We were a standalone show. 2 years ago, some good folks, Jamie Lefford at Golf Pride, of course, we had our good friends at Golf Digest, so with Jerry Tardy, on my behalf, approached the PGA of America and said, "Hey, think about having the expo as a part of the show, or at least co-located." So, from my perspective, we are co-located with the show, and I have nothing against those other sports because those are revenue
Oh, no,
items
I
for
don't
people at
either.
golf
It's just,
courses.
well, I would have loved to have
So,
seen you there, and there's room there. Was it an
there's
economic
room
thing?
there, but from my perspective, we're in the building. We've got a foothold now. We just have to kind of move up the elevator or move up the location a bit, but we're in there. And I gotta tell you, that sent a huge signal to people in the community that I won't say we've arrived, but we made significant progress. And yes, everything can always be improved, but I'm really grateful that Don Ray and the others, the people at Reed Exhibitions, have gotten us this far. We'll discuss how we can improve it, but we learned a lot of things this year on not only location, but what we need to do to attract more people to come in. But this was a record-setting year for us. We had almost 700 people sign up. Now, I know there was over 30,000 people at the PGA show, but keep in mind the PGA show is for those directly involved in the golf industry. The expo is open to the public, but we try to keep it very golf specific in that regard. So we'll work out the details. Reed Exhibitions and PGA have just been superb to work with. Don Ray even made the comment that he wanted to see us move up physically within the building. So with that, I'm very optimistic.
Well, Don's a great friend of mine for many years, almost 20, and he's a friend of this show and I've known Don forever. He's a stand-up person, and if he says that, He's the president of the PGA of America. I bet you maybe next
Can't
year,
get
or
much better than that.
it doesn't
Yep.
get much better than that. And I hope next year that you'll be able to move on up. Well, isn't that a song, Moving On Up,
Yes, sir.
from TV?
Yeah, I
Bob,
would
you're
sing it,
Bob.
but I would sing it, but you'd stop the
Moving on up. I
podcast.
remember it. I remember the show and everything.
Curtis
Love
Mayfield. Well, it was also Moving On Up, Curtis Mayfield. But see, that's a thing. That's a West Side Chicago thing. I'll leave it there.
I love it. Thank you, Jim. You're listening to Jim Beattie. He's the executive director of the African American Golf Expo and an entrepreneur. And Dr. Bob is going to take over again with another question.
Jim, when I first met you in August 2024 at the West Palm Beach Expo, one of the guests was Rhett Evans. And Rhett is becoming at least a tangential friend to me because I don't get to see him very much, but do get to correspond with him. And I was more impressed, obviously, his message about those that try to achieve and move up and capture the moment as he did on Mount Everest when he was able to achieve that amazing feat. And
Who's Red Evans, Bob? Tell the folks.
he's a CEO of the Golf Course Superintendents Association.
Okay, go
And
ahead.
so my guess, my message to you, Jim, is, and my question relates to, have you fulfilled, at least come close to the achieving some of your mission of the expo in today's business climate?
Yes, I have. But to put it in the same terms and context as Red Evans, who of course scaled Mount Everest. Red went through a lot of challenges. Red almost died pursuing that. And so I have no desire to try to die in putting the expo together. But let's just say we've established a base camp, okay? And we have Sherpas helping us out along the way. And
Wow.
I'm gonna call Red Evans in this regard a Sherpa because the Golf Course Superintendents of America has been a significant contributor to the expo and has helped us out a lot. So, the expo, excuse me, the PGA show perhaps is our Mount Everest. We're climbing slowly, but we're getting there one step at a time, just like Red had to do to climb Mount Everest. So, listen, we're there in the building, we're in the city. I'm proud of that. Again, we can improve many things with it, and we will. But I am so optimistic and I'm so grateful for all of the associations that have come together to help us out. The LPGA, the PGA Tour, PGA of America, and the list goes on. Golf Pride, Golf Digest, the African American Golfers Digest. But it just comes with a lot of people's support in the effort and the belief in our mission, which is to simply bring this great game and sport and industry to people of color. This year, we had our Latina brothers involved with us, and that's just another opportunity. We simply want to grow the game. This is the best game in the world. You play it your whole life.
Yeah, game for
How much
life.
better can this get?
Game for life, according to Tom Watson. Bob, I know you have another, one more question for Jim Beattie, and then we'll move forward.
Jim, one of the seminar that I was enjoyed listening to at the expo was with those club managers, and it was just an amazing back and forth, and we're seeing how they have been able to weather the storm of business and politics within their own. How would you sort of sum up what you saw in that particular seminar?
Your question is so timely because I talked to Jeff Morgan, the head of the Club Management Association of America, this morning, and also to Brian Watkins, who's the coordinator of that panel. We had four outstanding club managers there, three African Americans, and then we had Mr. Matt Barksdale from Pinehurst. To see these gentlemen on the stage talking about how they have achieved their respective certification within that industry and to represent the clubs that they represent, I will tell you that they were bringing tears to the audience, given their level of responsibility and respect. They are excellent, excellent examples of what can happen when clubs, associations, organizations open their doors and say, "We want everybody to participate. It's open for everyone." That was perhaps I think a highlight, one of the highlights of the expo was to have the African American club managers there. And you know, they have also formed an African American Club Management Association within CMAA to help promote and educate. It's a workforce, a job development tool. This is all part of the same initiative. Get more people involved, bring more people in, let's enlarge the tent and the people under it.
Yeah. All right, Bob, one last question, but that's going to be when we come back on the other side, because I'm going to ask Jim, and I know he's got to run to another important meeting, but I think we have 5 more minutes. I've got to go out to a break for our wonderful sponsors. Please have a listen, everybody. These are great sponsors, great companies. They're going to help you with your game. You're going to have more fun, score better, and enjoy the game a lot better when you listen to these sponsors' messages. And we'll be back on the other side in just a moment with Dr. Bob Denny and Jim Beatty. Hang on there. Don't move.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Ray Adams here on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show with Dr. Bob, and we're continuing our conversation with the executive director of the African American Golf Expo. They had their sixth annual one last week in concurrence with the PGA Merchandise Show, which I've already talked about at the top of the hour. I shot 31 videos there. Make sure you go to Match Play TV. That's one word, Match Play TV, and that's how you find me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And those videos, along with going to LinkedIn, where you just go to Ray Adams and that gets you to LinkedIn. But the other three are Match Play TV. Across those four digital channels, I'm going to be posting 31 different videos of my experience with great, great products, innovators, and just a reporting from the various booths on the showroom floors and from demo day at the PGA Merchandise Show last week. I truly believe from my experience last week, and I can say this without reservation, it was the best PGA Merchandise Show in the last 10 years. Now, that was my 22nd year, Bob and Jim. So for me to say that is a big deal. So congratulations to the PGA of America. I want to especially shout out Sherry Major, who heads up all of the media. She is, well, all we can say is we love Sherry. She's just fabulous.
Absolutely.
The hard work she puts in all year. And then, of course, within the last week of before the show, during the show, Sherry Major is one of the great, great women in golf. And one of these days, we're going to have Sherry Major come on the show and be a part of that segment that I have called over the last number of years, Great Women in Golf. And we always have some great women in golf on the show. And we'll continue to do that in the future. Back with Jim Beatty now. Bob, I'm going to have you ask him. I think we have time for one more question.
Jim, you were gracious enough to let me be a part of the inaugural Golf History Challenge. And I step to the microphone and try to let people in the audience know that history is not X number of years ago or minutes ago. It is also happening now. I got to believe that you feel that the work you've done, the support you've had, and those, and obviously the extended family you have, makes you feel that you've accomplished something in a niche way of your own history. Am I close to that?
Bob, you are. First, let me thank you for your help in putting on the first Expo History Challenge. That also was one of the highlights, Bob, and you did yeoman's work in putting that together. It was a lot of fun. And I tell you what, the audience learned a lot in listening to the questions and the answers in that regard. We're going to do that annually. That's going to become an annual part of the expo. Now, in terms of myself, yes, I recognize I'm making history, and to that extent, I want to try to make it as good as possible for everyone. Everyone is welcome at the expo. Don't let the name fool you. Don't be fooled by that. It's for everyone. It's targeted for sure, but it's for everyone. Our doors are wide open for the History Challenge, for the Expo, all aspects of it. So, yes, we're making history. We have more to make.
All right. I have one final question for you too, but I want to give you the final word, Jim Beatty, during our segment here, and that is the African American Golf Expo, and is your organization, and I guess you particularly, you and your team, are you reaching out to tour players on any of the professional tours? From the PGA Tour to the LPGA Tour, Korn Ferry Tour, are you reaching out to them to bring awareness and to maybe garner their support to what you're doing?
We could use their support. We have not had involvement from any of the tour players, but we invite it. We invite their support. We'd like to have them involved. There's so many ways they can help. Always there's money. But I tell you what, any tour player that hears this, LPGA, PGA, that would like to lend their name and support to the expo, believe me, we will accept it because it helps us get the word out. That way, Ray, you will make certain you hear about it in 2027 and beyond. So we invite that and look forward to it.
All right, there he is, the executive director of the African American Golf Expo. We're talking Jim Beatty here. Jim, thank you so much for joining us. And this is going to be the first of, I think, a few appearances, Dr. Bob, of Jim Beatty with us. You can continue to update us throughout the year and be a part of the show here and there as we go, Jim. I hope you're able to do that. And we're going to let you go now because I know you've got to get ready for another important appointment. And we have another guest. Jim Beatty, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it, Ray. Thank you, Bob.
You're
See you
welcome.
around.
All
Keep
right.
it in the short grass.
All right, Bob, there he is. What a great guest and an effort that he's making to bring awareness to the game of golf. And I think and hope that he'll be a part of the bigger PGA merchandise show upstairs next year. Sounds like the
I
work.
just love it. I just love his line there about we establish base camp. I love that.
Yeah, that is great. Yeah. Well, and Rhett Evans, I've known him for a number of years, and Rhett has agreed not only to come on this show, but to sit down with me on camera talk all about the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, where I do my segment called Super Golf, short for superintendent, and then also talk about his ascent to the highest place on earth, Mount Everest. He did that, what, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and he chronicled it. We followed him holding our breath on every single post that he made, and what an amazing accomplishment that was and remains to be today. All right, keeping on with some golf talk, Bob, I don't know if you have a nugget for us or anything. That was quite a nugget right there with Jim Beatty alone.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, we had another PGA executive who was the championship director of the PGA Championship resign recently. And it's yet another PGA important person on the team. And they've cited family matters as the reason that they felt like they needed to resign from their post and focus more on family, or maybe a job more directly near the house or whatever where they live, their hometown, what have you. If you want to comment on that, go ahead. I don't know that I know many people I've read, well, yeah, the PGA is in disarray and it's one more executive that's gone now, and he was only there for a while, and it's going to throw a little monkey, you know, a wrench into the machinery. And, you know, I don't know that that's any of that's true. What about you, Bob?
Yeah. Ray, he's Ryan Ogle, and he's about 38 years old, and he resigned 4 months before the PGA Championship at Aronimink. But he has taken a position now as a vice president of sales and service at Churchill Downs. And he did want to be, he says, timing is never perfect in a move in a career. It's seldom perfect, he used those words. And the unique thing is that he was be able to keep with his family and not have to make that 2 year move and worry about that at the moment, because that is a tough, tough job. You have to not only promote that championship, you have to be a part of that community for 2 years, then you're uprooting yourself and going to another. So I rank that among the toughest jobs that the PGA of America has for a staff member.
Yeah. All right. We have a very special guest joining us right now. And like I said, that's some news we wanted to cover. I think the other biggest news on the face of the planet is Brooks Koepka has been accepted back onto the PGA Tour. He is now playing in events. He will be actually here at the Phoenix Open next week. We are going to look at schedules late in the show today and very quickly go there. Where's the PGA Tour playing this week, by the way?
Well, it'll be at the at Torrey Pines at the Farmers Insurance Open.
And we already spoke about Farmers. This is their last year.
Right.
And there are several big, big, huge household name companies that this is their last year sponsoring a PGA Tour event. That, again, is news and will be ongoing conversation as the schedule unfolds and as the tour works forward to that. All right. Many years ago, I was sitting on an airplane and I was on my way to meet my future wife, my wonderful wife today of now over 10 years. Actually, I think it's been almost, it will be 12 years. And during that flight, I met this gentleman. He is a member of the PGA of Germany. He is a German golf pro. And he is out of Kempten Country Club, which is near Munich. So he is a Bavarian. And I'm talking about my great friend, Ralph Schwartz. And Ralph, I want you to meet Dr. Bob Denny. He is the historian emeritus for the PGA of America and my co-host here on the Golf Lifestyle Show, which you appear on every year because you come to Phoenix. You're a homeowner here, and you bring your members here to play golf and, well, all over the world. So, Ralph Schwartz, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining today, Ralph.
Yeah, hi, Ryan. Nice to be on your show again.
Yes, and, well, I can't wait to find out where all you've traveled, because what Ralph does, folks, is as the professional at Kempton Country Club. The members join Ralph, and Ralph plans these wonderful golf trips to play golf in various cities, well, all over the world, but especially in America during the winter months, where it's a little chilly in Germany, so no golf right now going on. And of course, you're here and you were in California. So where did your golf tour this year take you and your members? Where all did you play?
Well, this year I only did a tour to Italy and Portugal earlier in the year. Unfortunately, it didn't work out to come here over to the US, but I'm planning already on a trip again next winter, and that'll definitely lead us back here into the desert, maybe up to Vegas, go to California, go up the Coast Highway, which just got reopened, and luckily.
Sure.
Heard the day it was open that it is open, and I just took the ride up to Carmel from Moonstone Beach up to Carmel, which
oh,
will
wow.
definitely be a part of our trip next year.
That's fantastic. Well, yes, as I said, you take your members all over the world, and they get to experience golf like, well, not many golfers get to experience golf the way that they do, and that's because of you, Ralph. How difficult is it as a PGA professional there at your club to put these trips together? Do you have a trip like a tour company that helps you, or do you do all of this?
Well, I do all of this myself because I did those camps in Italy many years ago already, which was pretty easy to set up because we got a hotel, we got a golf course, and the practice facilities. Setting up the tours over here, I love it always, setting up the new tours, thinking about where to go, play which golf course, go to which national park, do some hiking. So we combine golf with other activities. So it's not just only golfing, but it's like hiking, sightseeing, and all kinds
yeah.
of stuff. It's always fun to put those tours together.
Ralph, tell the folks listening, because our listeners travel widely. They play golf all over the world as well. That's my demographic for, well, 25 years. But tell the folks who've not been to Germany and played golf in Germany what golf in Germany is like. What's happening in Germany with golf?
Yeah, golf was, we had about 100,000 registered golfers when Bernhard Langer was becoming famous in the 80s. Now we have about 700,000 registered golfers, and there was a big boom going on early 2000. Number of golfers was growing really a lot. And since, let's say, the last 8 or 10 years, the number stays quite even. I think there's another guy missing, like Bernhard Langer, to just take the next step and put the golf sport in another light. It's still the sport in Germany where people say, oh, it's only for wealthy people, which is absolutely not true. But as you know, when there's something sitting in the mind of people, it's just sitting there, and we would be blessed to have another guy like Bernhard Langer or somebody who will be on the PGA Tour again, because right now we are not really present on the PGA Tour with German mm-hmm. golfers.
Well, you're surely present at the Ryder Cup. What's your take on the recent Ryder Cup, which I was there? I covered the Ryder Cup, reported from it. Posted videos, more videos I'm going to be posting. I'm trickling them out. But what an experience at that Ryder Cup. And of course, Europe is victorious again over the United States in a big way. It was rather an easy win. I know hard work on the European team's part. The Americans played well on Sunday, but it was way too little too late. What's your take on the Ryder Cup?
Well, I think it was a big surprise that the Europeans took all the matches on the first days, and they were leading by that high number going into the singles on Sunday. I was hoping somehow that the United States will come back, which they did, and I almost made it. It was just so exciting to watch it on TV when Russell Henley put his t-shirt, hit his t-shirt in the sand trap. You thought, oh, now it's over. Then he hits it like within 10 feet to the flag out of a position where you say that's impossible. Then Lowry comes up and puts it within 6 or 7 feet. I mean, it was just an amazing Ryder Cup with a great, exciting finish for all of us. And definitely Europeans deserve to win that cup because I think the big difference was probably the putting on the first 2 days. Mostly the Ryder Cup is decided by putting. The Americans have been in pretty good position on the green and they just didn't make a putt. And it looked like the European team was holding out from everywhere. And that's what gave them the edge over the United States this time. But it was really exciting to watch.
What's the word in Europe that you've heard maybe about Luke Donald? What a great captain. He'll go down in history, of course, as one of the greatest. But now there's talk that he may become a three-time captain and may captain the European team yet one more time as we play in a couple of years in Ireland. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's good to have some consistency when it comes to the position of captains. It doesn't have to be changed all the time. Luke is a great guy, and he has always been a great player on tour himself. And I like the way he's acting, and he certainly found the right words and the right way to set up the team and have that team spirit. And it'll be great to see if he can, if they can repeat it in Ireland. Even though I'm a big fan of United States, and I
Sure.
somehow would like to see the US win on European soil again.
Well, let's see what happens in a couple of years. We'll be there to cover it and talk all about it. In the meantime, we're lots of talk about Bethpage and the experience at the Ryder Cup a few months ago. And I will continue to post some videos from there, trickle them out. A question came in from one of the listeners, Ralph. Are there municipal golf courses, public golf courses in Germany, and how much does it cost to play those courses?
Yeah, we got municipal golf courses. You can have memberships at our golf courses. You can go there and just play without a membership and just pay the green fee. Most of the courses accept players that are not member in any of the other golf courses or golf clubs.
So what's it cost to play a round of golf at a municipal golf course, let's
It's
say?
let's say between 60 and 150 euros. It just depends, which is about let's say 80 to 180 dollars in between, depending on the quality of the golf course.
Okay, very good. Dr. Bob, do you have a question for Ralph as we let him get back to his busy schedule? I know he's got some golf to play, other things happening. We're going to try to get together for dinner, I hope tonight, but maybe tomorrow night. Either way, I'm going to get to see you, Ralph, and I can't wait for that. Along with my wonderful wife, we'll get together and talk a lot more. Bob, any questions for Ralph Schwartz?
Ralph, I was going to ask if you have any kind of golfers coming up in Germany that are in the mold of the great Langer as far as that kind of talent and so forth. And also, I just want to let our listeners know that Germany ranks only second in Europe behind England for the number of golf courses right now. And that's probably a surprise to many people, but maybe not to Ralph.
Well, you surprised me that you know the number of golfers because I just was comparing numbers of golfers in Europe and Germany, like you say, have the second most golfers behind the UK with about 700,000. And we still can't get our talents on the PGA Tour. I don't know what the problem is. And there are some talents coming up all the time, and everybody said, oh, that's going to be maybe next Bernhard Langer, but somehow it just doesn't work out. I don't know if it's the German mentality or yet to have that kind of safety they all want to have. Just go studying, get a good profession where you make your money, and don't start with want to become a golf professional. I don't know where the problem is. One thing I know that everybody who comes over here and is playing golf in high school or university, those players usually have good chances to become a member of the PGA Tour someday. And I
Sure.
think there are just too few golfers that take the step over here to the United States.
I just want to let people know there's over 1,000 golf courses as of 2023 in Germany, and in England had 2,300 at that time. So we're talking about courses now, and you can imagine the interest in how it's boomed, like you said, Ralph, at the start.
Do you mean how it started?
No, I'm just saying it because of what you said, the boom started and with Langer, and obviously it's picked up, but the number of facilities makes it very unique that Germany is ranking number two in Europe right now.
That's very unique. That's what will that's certainly something we benefited from Bernhard Langer's success, who made golf big in Germany. Golf was just in the middle of nowhere when he started playing, but he certainly did it for Germany.
All right, Ralph Schwartz, there he is, German golf professional at Kempton Country Club in near Munich. And Ralph, this is our annual tradition for you to be on the show when you're here in the Phoenix area, and playing golf with your friends, and you and I getting together. We're going to be seeing each other soon. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Golf Lifestyle Show. There he is, Ralph Schwartz.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Ryan.
Hey,
Hope to
thank you.
see you tonight.
Yeah, we'll
Bye-bye.
see you later.
See you
Okay,
later.
there he is.
Bye-bye.
Bob, just continuing on, we have a few minutes left in the show. Great to hear from Ralph. And there's a different perspective when you're a European on the game, not just globally, but the way the game, not just the way the game is played, but where it's played and how it's played, and just a whole European look at everything. And of course, their take on the Ryder Cup and the way they go about playing and being Ryder Cup players. So I do want to mention one article that I read, and I think I send that over to you, where Paul Azinger this last week described his first year as a broadcaster on the Golf Channel Champions Tour as the most difficult year of calling golf that he had ever experienced. And when he returned to broadcasting with the Golf Channel a couple of years ago, after being with NBC for many years, he said his first season was extremely difficult because there was at least a 2 to 3 second delay from the PGA Tour's remote location causing disruptions, where the viewers would see a shot and there would be a delay, and trying to talk to somebody down on the course with the delay made everything just very, very difficult. He then goes on to say, in the article, he said, "That was the most difficult year of calling golf. I think all those challenges have now been fixed at this point. I hope they have. We'll find out here soon enough." Going there, he also told Golf Week that his interests had become more aligned with the PGA Champions Tour rather than the PGA Tour, saying, quote, "I'd rather call the Senior Tour than the PGA Tour, to tell you the truth. I'm over the PGA Tour," end of quote. Wow. What a statement, Bob.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I sympathize with him on the job to try to be a broadcaster when the technical and the economics are not
Yes.
aligned. And it's obviously they didn't want to have their booths at those locations, and that's obviously and made it real very difficult. But back to what you said about this point, he's over the PGA Tour. I think he's one of many in his group of age class that have grown weary of where the tour is right now, the contraction, the uncertainty with all the different economics, what they're going to do to what's the tour going to look like in 2027. I think that
Yeah.
I sympathize with Mr. Azinger on it, and I've met him many times, and I've always admired him for what he did, and I just am so impressed with what he's done in his career.
Well, he's one of my favorite broadcasters, and I'm certainly glad he was able to come back. And I know how difficult being on camera and on the microphone is from a technical standpoint. And if anything is wrong, any little thing at all is out of sorts, it makes for a big disruption. It's very hard to focus because when you're doing radio, podcasting like we're doing right now, or you're on camera, like I was on camera 31 times shooting videos at the PGA merchandise show last week, or filming a television show, which I'll be doing likely at the Phoenix Open coming up in the next week, which I do every year. I film at the Phoenix Open at a beautiful, beautiful venue, literally inches, few feet from the golfers, but on private property, out off the golf course. It's just a great venue. But I know anytime you're on camera or on a mic and you have technical difficulties, it makes for a disruption that is very, very difficult to overcome. I've worked through it and tried to talk through it and work through it in the past. With television, especially if you're taping a television show, you can stop and start and try to fix things and make it work. For live stuff, it's very difficult. But anyway, we love Paul Azinger. We like following him, and he's a great broadcaster. Of course, the one that put together the pods, winning the 2008 Ryder Cup at Valhalla Country Club there in Louisville, Kentucky, and his great career as well. I've got a lot more to come from the shows, Bob. What's a quick look at the schedules? We mentioned that they're at the Farmers this week, Phoenix Open next week for the PGA Tour. Where are we with the rest of the tours? We've got the DP, the ladies, and of course the champions. What's happening there?
The DP Tour is in Bahrain. I'm sure you want to take a trip all the way to Bahrain, but that's where they are. They're staying in the Middle East area. The ladies begin their season at the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions at Lake Nona Golf and Country Club outside of Orlando this Thursday.
So their season begins, and we'll be covering them on the Great American Golf Show this coming Saturday morning. By the way, folks, both of these radio podcasts, this one and Great American Golf, my anchor show, appears first on the Golf News Net. You want to go to golfnewsnet.com, click onto the radio tab. 1.5 million people go to the Golf News Net for their news and entertainment in golf every single month, and even more. It's growing now more. Ryan Ballingee does an amazing job. These radio podcast shows stay there for a day or so, airing multiple times, and then they're sent over to all the big audio platforms: Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, Apple, Amazon, all the big, wherever you get your radio audio, wherever you get your podcast from. You're going to want to go to those places and find the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show with Ray Adams, Great American Golf Radio with Ray Adams, and on television, it is the same. Golf News Net first, and then they're sent over. The shows are sent over to Roku and Amazon and Apple and other great places under the Golf News Net banner. So lots more coming. And of course, you see everything that I do video-wise on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, especially my YouTube channel growing very quickly with lots and lots of video content, television shows, everything happening over at my YouTube channel at Match Play TV. So the ladies are going now. The Champions Tour is off until the middle of February, where they will go to Naples. That's what Paul Azinger was referring to. And the DP World Tour, you said, where are they there, Bob?
They're in Bahrain.
Yes, they are. And I've been to Bahrain. So I can tell you it is a far, far piece away from America, but it is a very interesting, fascinating country. And many, many long years ago, my work took me to Bahrain, Kuwait, and Qatar. That's a whole hour just to talk about that. It was not golf related, though. It was for my business that I was in at the time, my work at the time, many long years ago. So Bahrain will be anxious to cover that one. Bob, thank you so much for joining. I want to thank also a couple of sponsors. I'm going to do that now. Bob, you and I will be back with Craig this coming Saturday morning on Great American Golf right here on the Golf News Net. Make sure you go to golfnewsnet.com. Listen, if you've got lower back and sciatica pain, you want to get with one of the world's greatest renowned experts. I'm talking about Dr. Gavin Rutledge. Dr. Gavin Rutledge. You want to go to golf.painfreeandconfident.com. golf.com. That's the website you want to go to, golf.painfreeandconfident.com. And there you're going to find out all about Dr. Rutledge, how you can be a patient of his, work with him, how he can help you. Also, you can get his book, a number one Amazon bestseller, Pain Free and Confident Golf. And you want to do that. So golf.painfreeandconfident.com with Dr. Gavin Rutledge, one of our great, great partners in these shows. And I'm so happy to advertise and promote and tell you about him. He is an authority and he's a wonderful physician to help you out in that quest to be pain-free and confident in your life. I also want to thank so many of my Anthem Only segment sponsors. You've got Homeland Brew, you've got Pho Legends, wonderful, wonderful Vietnamese pho cuisine here in Anthem. You've got Ziggy's Coffee has joined as a new Anthem Only segment sponsor. So Ziggy's Coffee is there. And of course, I'm talking about the wonderful companies, Dennis and Lisa Jones, and their award-winning real estate company, DL Jones Homes.com here in Anthem as part of my Anthem Only segment. And then the North Valley Water Solutions and North Valley Cart Care, family-owned businesses that will help you with all your water treatment, heaters, purifiers, systems, plumbing. Their 24-hour emergency is there at nvwatersystems.watersolutions at northvalleywatersolutions.com, and then nvcartcare.com for the golf cart person that needs a service, towing, tire repairs, accessories, routine maintenance, and batteries. nvcartcare.com and the North Valley Water Solutions.com for all of your water solutions needs. Two of my other great Anthem Only segment sponsors. And there are more, and you're going to be hearing from more and some new ones. And I'm going to run a little deal here where I'm going to give away a gift card to Ziggy's Coffee. We'll do that here in one of the next upcoming shows. Stay tuned with me. Write to me, golfadams@msn.com. It'll get you on my big email list of 250,000 plus. And go to Match Play TV on my Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube sites to find out more and to see some of these unbelievable, fabulous videos of all these innovative new products from the PGA Merchandise Show last week. Great to be home here in Phoenix. Great to be out of the very, very iffy weather for flying. We didn't even know if we were going to make it in the other night, but thankfully we did. And can't wait to get those videos posted for you this week so you can find out all about the PGA Merchandise Show. As an industry-only show, the consumer cannot attend, but I'm there for you every year, and I'll be bringing you some fabulous new products that's going to help you in your game, and you're going to have more fun, score better, and enjoy the game more. I also want to thank Ashworth Golf Apparel. Had a great interview with John Ashworth at the show. That will go up. And Andy Bell, the CEO of Ashworth Golf Apparel. Make sure you go to Ashworth Golf Apparel. Of course, I had my Ashworth Apparel on all through the week last week and shooting all those videos. You'll see me in my Ashworth Apparel. Folks, when you're wearing Ashworth Golf Apparel, you're wearing part of golf history. All right, Ray Adams signing off. Have a great week. Stay warm, stay safe if you're in some of those danger zones with the ice and the weather. And enjoy the game. If you're out in a bellwether area, get out and play some golf. And we will be with you this coming Saturday morning right here on the golfnewsnet.com. Great American Golf will be there for you.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at discounttire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.